McDavid against Morgan Rielly. McDavid, what a move! What a play! What a goal! Connor McDavid!
Absolutely undressed him.
That is unbelievable.
That is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. Period. And I've lived a long life, Tim.
I can tell.
Tim and Sid, live on radio and TV, starts now. Today's show is brought to you by Connor McDavid.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment. Yeah. It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
What is going on? It is Tuesday, January the 7th, almost February. I'm Sid Sixero. He's Tim McAuliffe. This is Tim and Sid. We are live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, the Fan of the Toronto area.
We pride ourselves on letting you interact with us during the show live and even not during the show live.
Yeah, like earlier today.
Correct. When we attempted to get a thread of the greatest goals of all time. And people were too douchey to actually just tag great goals and wanted to argue on where Connor McDavid's actually ranked. Our Instagram and Facebook accounts are also verified.
But why does that surprise you? Like, tell me you're not surprised by it,
I am surprised.
Really? On Twitter?
Every time by how Twitter is.
People are douchey on Twitter.
Right.
And on January the 7th, 2020, this is a thing that surprises you.
Yeah, no, it still surprises me to this day because
wow.
I was there at the inception. Do you read your comments?
Not often, though.
No,
because I know what they are, though, is the point.
But
the point is I know what they are,
so
and
when
I'm not
you're,
surprised by
so
it.
When you're doing a thread and you're trying to compile the greatest goals of all time, you don't, because you don't do it, but I do. I have to go through the thread to see the goals that we're attempting to compile to do a show on television, and people are douchebags.
But why does that get to you, though, is my question. You do the work. I understand that. You do great work. There is always a jackass on social media. That person is not going to leave.
No. So what I'm saying and what you're saying are two different things. I'm shocked at how many people turn into the douchebag. I know that there are going to be some. How many always shocks me.
How many?
Okay. Is that different?
No, a little bit. Yes.
Right. But I shouldn't be shocked by either.
You should be less shocked at one over the other.
Right.
The fact that there's one should not be a discussion.
No, that's not the part of it. It's just how many.
When there's a bunch of them on a fairly innocuous, fun topic like we threw out today, that's a different story.
That's the part. Like, this is innocuous, this was fun, and we're going to do it during the show, so we're not going to let those people
bother. You didn't send out the, hey, here's my political feelings.
Right.
Like, that wasn't the tweet.
That was not
the tweet. Was, let's have a good time and look at some great goals.
Let's show some kids goals they have never seen before on a thread, and here's the way we do it, although we just should have spelled it out because people are that stupid. You know what bugs me the most?
Spelling it out would help.
You know what bugs me the most is people who talk with the utmost confidence with remarkable ignorance. And that seems to be Twitter in 2019.
But that's why I don't read my comments.
And the comfort with which people talk with complete ignorance on things that they do so confidently. Do you know what I'm saying?
You and I are in very different places when it comes to social media.
Yeah, we are.
Like,
I still lament that, like, we started this show on Twitter, and it was awesome. The interaction that we got on Twitter was awesome.
Yeah,
remember that?
For a while.
A few years.
And then it turned into something else.
And then it just turned into what it is right now. Although we are going to go to Twitter a little later on.
Hey,
hit us up at
Tim
and Sid.
Twitter's also great for days like today.
Our match
music
game
plays. Music.
Will be on Twitter. And if streaming is your thing or podcasting is your thing, that's available for you too. On the internet, we will tweet out our addresses a little later on. Coming up over the next 2 hours on both TV and radio, we will discuss the Raptors.
Banged up.
Joe Judge.
Who?
Giants' new head coach.
Oh, him. Matt Rhule.
New Panthers head coach.
Rooney Rhule.
Not really working.
McDavid. Former NHL defenseman Kevin Bieksa will join us next hour. What would Kevin Bieksa have done with Connor McDavid last night? We'll ask him. We'll also be joined by Sportsnet's Eric Smith, live from Scotiabank Arena. You can listen to the Raptors and the Blazers live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, where we are on right now, later tonight.
So what you're telling me, in like if I can get some sort of conclusion to what you're lecturing me on, it is expect less of humanity.
Yes. I don't want to be that guy.
No, I know.
But sometimes I feel like I need to be that guy. Like, yeah. You're right. Like, Twitter for a while was, well, you would have a bunch of conversations, like legit conversations with people on social media.
Correct.
Back and forth, complete strangers, but people that watch your show, that respect you, that listen to you and watch you all the time. And it would be pleasant. It would be good. It would be a healthy back and forth. Like, how would you describe it?
Early on, there was a lot of healthy back and forth.
Right. Then it turned into... Damn elite left-wing sports media, McAuliffe.
I need to yell as loud as I possibly can to get some sort of attention on me, and I have to be wackier than the next to be noticed, and everyone is just trying to be noticed, and I don't understand, even though I work on national television, why people need to be noticed.
Tim, why don't we do this? How about this? I know. I hate when people want to be noticed.
I know.
Why don't we single out the people who are D-bags on our Twitter account and just retweet the tweet with the caption, get him.
No, I don't want to do
sick
that.
The Tim and Sid Nation.
I've thought about that before. That's
I really want to do that, though.
No, that's D-baggy. That's worse.
Let's join the fray.
I thought Levitard had a great way of doing it, where they would just take the avatar of the guy.
The picture? There's some classics.
And they would blow it up and just say, he's that guy?
Which is worse than my idea. It's actually more cutting than anything I suggested.
Well, but now everyone uses, like, so many keyboard jockeys don't even use their real name, their real picture. Like, most of the douchebags out here
cowards.
Hide behind some sort of other picture or avatar and a burner account, right?
Correct. Do you remember the exact comment that got you going today? Do you remember what it was? I don't want you to give credit
to the person. I was shocked again at how many there were.
Right.
That didn't really get it and want us to walk back having a conversation about the best goal of all time. But why not? Let's have the conversation about the best goal of all time, because that's probably going to be our lead.
Yeah, we're going to get right to the lead today, because I have a feeling Tim is bang on.
Yeah.
We gave you three options, two of which were irrelevant to the main vote. Option one, Connor McHoly Bleep. And that was the trickiest thing I've ever said on air.
McHoly Bleep?
Yep. That could have gone in any direction there, McAuliffe. Option two,
yeah.
Kovalchuk debut. Option three, Mellows in Toronto.
Hey!
I don't even have to look. It's Connor McDavid. Holy cow.
Never done that before.
We hit the buttons at the same time.
That is crazy.
If anyone's tripping out watching this or listening, they are freaking out right now. That is wild what just happened.
For those who don't know, Toronto Maple Leafs lost to the Edmonton Oilers. Connor McDavid, who hadn't exactly lit it up in his hometown, just teased his hometown team with some talent on display. He had 4 points, none of which prettier than the goal he scored while making Morgan Rielly look like he worked at the brass rail.
And McDavid against Morgan Rielly. McDavid, what a move! What a play! What a goal! Connor McDavid! What a goal! My goodness, what a goal by Connor McDavid!
His first goal in Toronto, and you'll remember that one.
Connor McDavid, yet another goal of the year candidate right there. Wow.
The brass rail, McAuliffe?
He undressed him.
Oh. Thought he gave him a dance or something.
We went to McFire instead of McHoly Bleep.
I almost got fired just now trying to save
on McHoly the graphic
Bleep.
In studio. I think the McHoly Bleep works because it was a holy bleep. What part of the goal impressed you the most? Before we get into where people want to go on this, what part of, like, you just watching as a fan, your reaction was what besides McHoly Bleep?
I mean, what's not to love here? There's about 30 things, unless you're Morgan Rielly. The one thing, Tim, I'll never forget is the emotion from this emotionless player.
Yeah.
His fourth point of the night, hometown, God knows how many people were in attendance based on his comments post-game. He had to get a ton of tickets, and he wasn't really happy about it anyway. But that smile at the end of the play for a guy in McDavid who was like an iceberg 99% of the time is the image of the night. And the other part of this, and I know Seb, who works camera here on Tim and Sid, he was in the building last night. So, Seb, maybe you can back me up on this. Guys, I want to run the sound up again with Kevin Quinn, who had a great call of it on Sportsnet West last night with Louis DeBrusque. Scotiabank Arena is the worst arena in sports for atmosphere.
For audience noise.
For a Leaf game specifically. Mm-hmm. There is a AAA battery has more energy in it than a Leaf crowd on most nights.
Most nights, yeah.
I want you to listen specifically for the crowd on this goal. It sounds like they're in Edmonton. And I'm hearing Oiler fans. I'm seeing Leaf fans on their feet. There were people in Leaf jerseys on their feet after Connor McDavid. Am I right or am I wrong? They were on their feet when this went in. So let's play it again, guys, and listen for it. I rarely hear a Scotiabank crowd like this for a visitor.
McDavid against Morgan Rielly. McDavid, what a move! What a play! What a goal! Connor McDavid!
Ow. Absolutely undressed him.
That is, I mean, Tim, we've seen a couple things in sports over the last few years where the opposing fans knew greatness when they saw Cristiano Ronaldo at Juventus.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened a lot. But those are the two things to me among the 30 that really stick out. The noise at Scotiabank when that happened was very rare and unique for that building and that fan base. And I thought it was crazy.
For those who don't know this show, Sid and I usually don't talk about the topics that we're going to talk about on the show, just so it stays fresh and we can surprise each other every once in a while.
You have a real conversation?
I didn't know that you were going to walk down that road on that, but it reminded me of Anthony Stewart's tweet that was out earlier today. And we'll retweet it for those who haven't seen it. But what he had sent to him and he ended up retweeting was a pause after the goal was scored from the Sportsnet broadcast. And I pulled it up on my computer so the folks on TV can see. But there are folks reacting with jaws dropped and the old,
oh, wow.
Oh my God, what did I just see? And they're all circled in the picture. We'll retweet it. If you're in your car, you can check it a little bit later when you stopped the car and looked at it safely. Please don't do it while you're driving.
Yeah, do it safely, please. Do it safely.
But that's what you're talking about. That, like, oh my God, I just witnessed greatness. And Seb, when I walked into the studio, he said, I saw the best goal I will ever see in person last night because he was at the game.
I mean, but you can, when he made that move, never mind the finish, it was the move where you heard the gasp in the crowd. Guys, I know I'm asking for a few looks at it here and listens. Just the gasp. Listen for it.
And McDavid against Morgan Rielly. McDavid, what a move!
Like, you gotta be kidding me. That was before the goal hadn't been scored yet.
Yeah. If you're just listening,
the goal hadn't been scored yet.
All you hear is, oh, that's amazing. The part for me that was most impressive was the move because he kind of lulled. He didn't want to talk about it after, which was amazing.
Nah,
I'm not giving up my secrets. No, he said, I'm not giving up
the
my
secret
secrets.
Part. Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not giving up my secrets, which I love. But the part was he lulled Rielly to sleep by slowing the pace down and looking like he was going to wait for other guys to come into the zone. And as soon as he saw Morgan Rielly attempt a crossover, my guy exploited. And you'll hear high end. You can see it on the back angle shot. As soon as he brought his right skate to go over his left skate, McDavid with one step and a move with the stick handle was by him before he could blink. And you'll hear high-end elite hockey trainers say, oh, yeah, when the guy crosses over, that's when you make your move. To do it at the speed that McDavid did and then roof it was unbelievable. And I know we're going overboard because it's what?
We're not going overboard. That was sick, man.
In the end, it's only, what, a top 10 goal of all time? Like, where do we rank this? Did you hear Alex Chiasson after the game? Teammate?
I actually didn't, no.
Pro hockey player, Alex Chiasson, had this to say about that goal.
I told Louis DeBrusque, that's the nicest goal I've ever seen. Just pure skill. We're lucky to have him.
I love that.
Who's starring in the movie Taken? Who's the actor?
Oh, you mean Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson. He had the seriousness.
I have a particular set of skills. Yeah.
That goal was so good. He was like serious as a heart attack. Alex Chazen. That was one of the greatest goals ever.
No, but he.
Ever. Greatest goal I've ever seen.
What made me laugh was the efficiency of the words.
Can I hear it again?
Because
Tim's right.
He didn't need to say much.
No.
All he had to say was about 7 or 8 words, I think.
I told Louis DeBrosse that's the nicest goal I've ever seen. Just pure skill. We're lucky to have him.
Yeah, well, yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Just make sure to get Draisaitl to play on his own line, and then you got things cooking there.
All right, the pure skill part of this. When we start this conversation, and we don't have to have the same one that we had on Twitter, but the pure skill, not importance, not when it happened, just using your brain, your skills, your athletic ability, just skill on display, where does that rank in the all-time goals that you have ever seen? Because...
Sorry, go on.
Yeah,
I'm just going to... Like, the term, strictly based on skill, I'm a little confused by. Aren't all these great goals with a bit of skill?
No, but I think, like, Paul Henderson's goal, right? It goes down as one of the greatest goals
right.
of all time.
Right.
But skill-wise, you just banged in a loose
puck.
Oh,
I see. Circumstance changes. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Sidney Crosby's golden goal is obviously a great goal in Canadian history, but I'm just talking pure
You're
skill.
You're talking about what you did to another human being whose job it is to defend
right.
you.
So my number one right. all-time pure skill goal of all time, and a lot of people may remember this, has to be Mario Lemieux on Ray Bourque. And it was because Mario Lemieux did something that I had never seen before. He put the puck in the skates of the defenseman he was attempting to beat.
Hall of Fame defenseman.
But he did it against one of the greatest defensemen of our generation, Cicero, made him look silly, and then finished against Andy Moak.
That is, like, if that's not the greatest first goal ever for any player in the history of the league, I don't know what is. Like, that is special.
So that's your number one?
No. No. That is not to me the greatest skill goal I've ever seen.
Okay, let me offer up another.
Let's see if you hit it. I like this game.
Denny Savard.
Oh, Denny Savard.
Taking the Oilers to the brass rail. because he undressed several Oilers.
Two brass rail references on the
And game. He spun back like at center, and then he undressed two. And I feel like if Denny Savard played in this era, Denny Savard would be a different player. And there's a lot of kids out there that have never seen the Denny Savard versus the Oilers goal, which was from 1988. So we'll tweet that out as well, just so people have it. Am I doing any better?
That goal's nice. I don't know if that's in my top 10.
I feel like when you invent something, like I had never seen anyone think of putting it in the defenseman's skates. That's why I put that Mario goal.
Because
Mario Mario's top 10 could be among the top 20 in the history of the NHL.
We didn't have to get other goals.
No,
this is your point.
Just roll your Mario.
Just
for
roll
me,
your
that's
mark.
Why. And that's why, can I put Mike Legg from Michigan in overtime pulling off the lacrosse goal in this list?
See, here's my problem with this goal now. I'm seeing it too much. I'm serious.
I'm seeing it too much.
When this goal lived in infamy for like 2 decades, it was different.
Okay,
but now, like, Svechnikov has trademarked it in modern era.
Okay, hold on. Stop.
Austin Matthews is trying to do it every game.
Stop.
He's hilariously missing it.
Stop. Mike Legg did it in an important game in overtime in 1996.
Yeah.
Svechnikov is the first NHLer to ever pull it off.
Twice. In the same season.
He did it this year.
Yep. What I'm saying is the expiry date has passed on it for me.
It took 23 years.
But now the thrill is gone. Hey, rock set. Must have been love, but it's over now.
All right.
I'm just saying. When that goal stood alone with the
lacrosse goal. He invented a goal.
That's top 10 easy.
No, but
Svechnikov's ruining it for me because now it's like way easier than it should be.
He invented a goal.
Yeah, no, I understand the point.
Okay.
What I'm telling you is it's not as exciting to me as it used to be.
Right.
That's what I'm telling you.
That's why Bure Skate the Stick was high for me, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll just say that because I know there's Vancouver fans.
That's big. Can I counter with a few?
Yes, please.
Playing this game?
Yes, please.
Which I love. We can't find the whole version of this Bobby Orr 1974 goal while shorthanded against the Atlanta Flames.
But you just describe it for radio.
But he starts out to center ice, comes back behind his own net, goes back out behind his own net, goes through the entire Flames team, goes around the net, empty net, dude slides, still goes underneath him. Bobby Orr. Boom. That's all you need to know. And he's exhausted by the end of it. Like, he's leaning over. That's how tired Bobby Orr is. So that, to me, that's a top 10 goal of all time.
Easy. I went searching for it on YouTube so that I could find it and see it and rank it all over again, and I couldn't find the whole thing. But I remember,
for some reason we couldn't.
But I remember the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
I remember him weaving, going back behind his own net, stopping, waiting, then going through everybody else and scoring that goal.
Tim, my next nominee, and again, the goal we just showed on television, the Bobby Orr goal, that's not the greatest goal ever. This next goal for Mario Lemieux, to me, is not the greatest goal ever.
Oh, you're saving your greatest goal.
I'm gonna close the show. The second last goal, though, was Lemieux, game two.
John Casey.
Sean Chambers, specifically.
Yeah.
Ending the life of Sean Chambers in the National Hockey League in game two of the Cup Final. Threw his legs around Casey. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Harry Neal said one versus the world on that goal. And that's what it looked like.
It's funny. I don't remember Harry. I love Harry Neal. I don't remember Harry's call like that. All I remember is Bob's for some reason. None of the goals we just talked about are the greatest goal of all time, skill-wise. None.
All right.
Martin Luther King Day, 2006.
Obie?
Young player named Alexander Ovechkin against the then Phoenix Coyotes scored the greatest goal of all time because dude was in midair, couldn't see the net, still scored. Someone make the argument that is not the greatest skill goal in the history of the sport. You cannot do it. My guy wasn't looking at the net. He goes in midair. A penalty is committed.
Mm-hmm.
And he still scores. The great eight was truly born that day. There is no debate. Ovechkin in 06 against the Coyotes.
There's been a lot of people nominating goals in our thread, and you can check out our thread on twitter.com. at Tim and Sid, and look at some of the goals. The Rick Nash goal was ridiculous with the Rangers, where he undresses like three or four guys, but he lost control of the puck and then finished. And if we're splitting hairs of greatness, which is exactly what we're doing, then do you take a mark off on the Ovechkin goal that as he undresses, I believe it was Paul Mara, that it hit the skate of Mara before he finishes on the ice?
You cannot, because he clearly knew where the puck was because of his greatness. It's irrelevant what happened to the puck between him slightly losing it and getting it back. That actually enhances it for me. Thank you for double making my point, McAllen.
I don't know if it's a double make your point.
He lost possession, got it back because he is a wizard. Ovechkin.
But if it's pure skill, you wouldn't lose possession.
But by the time he gets it back, his pure... Wait a second.
Yes.
Wait a second. Yeah. So pure skill when you're on your back and you can't see the net doesn't allow for that goal being scored? That's not pure skill?
Allow me to split hairs on the greatest goal of all time.
How dare you split a hair on that?
People want to split hairs on where McDavid's rank. Forget it for the match game because we're just doing this. McDavid's goal was better than blank. I repeat... McDavid's goal was better than blank. It's simple. We'll introduce it, and we will knock it out of the park with your responses next, right here on Tim and Sid. Connor McDavid with an absolute beauty. It is cued on a conversation about the greatest goal of all time and a match game next here on Tim and Sid.
I want to talk about Morgan Rielly for a second, Cal. Please.
Okay. This is Tim and Sid on TV and radio, Sportsnet, coast to coast to coast, and Sportsnet 590, The Fan in Toronto. Before the commercial break, we introduced the match game, Sid 6-0. McDavid's goal was better than blank. Whenever we do these things, we offer the good, bad, and the ugly up for your nomination. That's what the match game's all about. McDavid's goal was better than blank. I'm going to start with the harsh ones. Or the harsh ones. Brew wrote in and said, McDavid's goal was better than the Oilers' chances of making the playoffs this year.
Oh, snap.
Hefe writes in and says, Connor McDavid's goal was better than watching Dallas Cowboy fans suffer all season long.
They did suffer all season long, no doubt about it.
You don't enjoy watching Dallas Cowboy fans suffer?
Oh, I love it. No, okay. It's the greatest thing ever.
Okay, you just were so
I agree completely with the tweet.
Chad Myers just wrote in and said, nope, Datsyuk's. Datsyuk's goal. Can we count shootout goals in this mix?
No, we can't count shootout goals. Why don't we count skill competition goals that teams have? Like, why don't we count those?
All right.
Give me a break.
Victor wrote in and said, Connor McDavid's goal was better than Ricky Gervais shutting up celebrities at the Golden Globes.
Oh, hold the phone. Hold the phone.
Oh, you gave him the best horns there are.
Did you catch it? Did you catch the Ricky Gervais that he's talking about?
Yeah, the part where he said, don't thank anybody, and then the first award that they gave out.
Well, that was always going to happen.
Russell Crowe did the thing.
But Russell Crowe's actually in Australia.
He wasn't there.
So maybe the timing for Ricky wasn't the best on that. Because Russell Crowe's actually in Australia dealing with, like, a lot of
Can
traffic.
I tell you something? Not that I disagree with the joke that you're talking about. I found it underwhelming. I found the Golden Globes underwhelming. And that I expected more from Ricky Gervais, which is a compliment to him.
He destroyed people in the room in that monologue, though. He absolutely destroyed. I don't know where he could have gone from the monologue.
Yeah. I thought The Rock got it the worst, and that was the one that got the least amount of attention.
The Rock?
Yeah.
What did he say about The Rock?
He was talking about guys doing steroids in order to do movies, because that's all you need to do these days.
How did I miss this?
And it was just really quick, and nobody said a thing about it. I'll find it for you before the end of this show, or someone on Twitter will find it for me.
For sure.
Because I can't do it during the show.
Right.
So if someone could find it for me and get the chirp of Ricky Gervais on The Rock,
right,
which I thought was, I'm all about the understated. It's small things in life that amuse me. And that one was just a little dig. And I was just like, oh my God. And no one even laughed.
I don't think The Rock is doing PEDs at all. I don't know what he's talking
about. Ryan Leach walked in and said, McDavid's goal was better than Faisal Kamisa's flight to Edmonton.
Oh my God. Faisal. He had like a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with Falsey to get there. That's great. I love when travel disasters happen to Faisal.
You mean where he's safe?
Where he's safe,
sound,
yeah. No, I just want his
just
flight
annoyed
to be delayed. I don't want anything bad to happen.
No, but you said travel disaster.
No, I take it back.
Okay.
And for the record, Falsey's on steroids. Pretty sure.
It's a good deflect.
Right?
That was a good deflect.
Right. It works,
yeah,
right?
No, I'm with you, yeah.
Let's make it about Falsey.
Ahmed wrote in and said McDavid's goal was better than the Filipino diving team. Hashtag sorry, Sid.
Incorrect.
What?
There's nothing better than the Filipino diving team. That's my guy, Gary.
No, I think... I know Ahmed was playing up to your sensibilities while saying the Filipino diving
team. He practiced so much for this. And then his buddy Doug shows up. And one, and two, and...
Backflop. Not even belly flop. The backflop is more painful...
Or was that a knee flop?
...than the belly flop. True or false?
The backflop is better...
Is more painful...
Correct.
...than the belly flop.
I've never dove off a diving board in my life. I wouldn't know. I don't swim, man. I don't do that.
Can't swim?
If my life depended on it, like if I was on the Titanic, I'd give it a go.
It's a life skill. You'd give it a go.
Yeah.
If I was on the Titanic,
I'd give it a go.
I would give it a go.
But if I was on the piece of wood and Leonardo DiCaprio showed up, I wouldn't share it with him either.
Okay, hold on. Hold on a sec. There's so much here. Okay, don't you have a pool?
Yeah, but that's for hosting and just to look good in the sun. You know what I mean?
Okay, so
I did a hit with Faisal and the other guy when you were gone from my
poolside.
So poolside chat, and it was a good cinematic moment for the show.
You don't swim in the house.
I float.
Oh, you sit on a floaty.
Yeah. Okay. And honestly, quite frankly,
yeah.
I give the neighbors a bit of a thrill. I know they're looking.
just grease up.
I know. Oh, man.
Get on the unicorn.
Grease up. I just play I play Hulk Hogan's
donut
theme song.
Is it a donut?
I'm a real American.
Tell me it's one of those glazed donuts with the sprinkles on it, and you're just sitting in the middle.
It's actually a huge.
It's a banana boat?
It's not a banana boat.
Oh, no, that's what he.
It's not a banana boat.
That's what you're wearing.
That was only once with Ken Reed, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. I know, but it's a huge jelly donut. I do have a huge
jelly donut.
Yeah, I do. So
awesome.
At various points in the summer at my house, you could see me on a huge jelly donut, half naked.
Just like you've got the olive oil out, and you're just rubbing it all over.
Oh, yeah.
Parting the hairs so that you
and
can
if,
get right
if
in
I'm
there.
Not careful, if I'm in the sun too long, it's like a chorizo. It's like a sausage. Just cooking.
That's what you're talking about, the banana thing. Anyways.
But I don't dive. I don't dive. I don't like the water. I'll swim for my life. Like, I'll be like Tom Hanks in Castaway, thank you, with the Wilson. But, like, I'll to save my life, maybe I'll grab one person. You're lucky if I do. I'm not a great swimmer. But if it's, like, to qualify for, like, the Canadian Nationals, I'm not going to be able to do it.
No, hold on a second.
I can also synchronize. I can synchronize swim.
There are a lot of people who can't swim. I understand that. But you bought a house with a pool. I figured that you swam.
The pool is not the reason I bought the house, though. The pool was part of it. Came with the house,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, is now a huge pain in the ass, and I regret ever doing it.
Right.
Anyone who has a pool knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, a lot of people feel like
Something will break, and I'll have a guy show up and go, your left rear a tundra is broken. How much? $600. Glad I have this pool. Got to fix the tundra.
That I don't swim in.
That I have no idea what it is and that I don't really use properly.
Do you not swim or you just don't like swimming?
I don't like swimming. I don't like the deep end. I don't like not being able to stand up in water. I like to be safe. I find water dangerous and it creeps me out.
So do you have like a shallow end?
Yeah.
So do you walk around?
What pool doesn't have a shallow end?
Like a beer cozy?
What pool, like, are you out in the middle of the Pacific? It's like, I like deep end everywhere.
I'm trying to get specific on my knowledge of how you use your pool.
Is this about you haven't seen my pool and you're jealous?
No, I've seen your pool.
No, your pool's way better than me. It doesn't matter. He has a pool. His pool's fantastic. You can see the thing from space. But his pool's a pain in the ass, isn't it?
Yeah, they're all
a pain in the ass.
And the only reason I have a pool is because I bought a house with a pool in it.
See, we're in the same boat. We're in the exact same boat.
And the only reason the pool looks nice is because I had a grating problem on the concrete around the pool.
The grating problem.
So I had to fix it.
Yes.
But no, hold on. Let me get back to this.
Don't try and change the subject, Mikhail. Don't make it about you.
Do not realize you enthrall me. Like, your answers.
What's more enthralling, the McDavid goal or me?
Well, right now, you.
Get out of here.
Because I don't understand. I can't comprehend. So you just don't like swimming.
No.
You can swim, but you. Because I don't.
I can swim.
I'm not going to judge you if you can't swim.
I can swim, like, if I have to get from one side or the other.
My mom took me
to
those
swim.
Stupid life cross things.
Yeah.
I hated them with a passion.
But you know what I can't do?
You go to the public pool.
Yeah.
And you got to practice all the. I hate it with a passion.
No.
But now I can swim.
What I can't do, and I almost am jealous of people that can do it, are people just jump in the deep end. My old man's like this. Jump in the deep end. You don't see them for like 30 seconds. You feel like you need to call authorities.
See,
and then they come up and they're like, I found the penny.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's impressive to me. That's really impressive. I can't do that because I'm just afraid. I think I've gained 7 pounds through the holidays, so I can't do it now if I wanted.
You're uneasy in the water.
Very uneasy, yes. Very uneasy. But I have a pool. I would have bought the house without the pool, just so we're clear.
Right.
Because that thing's a money pit, and I hate every second.
And you've never jumped off of a dive, like not even cannonball. Boom, Cicero, who would be a great cannonballer.
No.
Like, just looking at you,
there wouldn't be any
cannonballer.
There wouldn't be any water left in the deep end. There wouldn't be any water left in the deep end.
You are a cannonball.
I am a cannonball.
You have never done a cannonball in your life.
No. Unless a cannonball is like some kind of drink.
If I will fail you if I don't get you.
You're going to teach me how to dive.
That's it.
Like the Filipino diving team. That's our quest for the next 6 months.
That will be our quest
by the end
of the summer.
Really?
To have video of Cicero. Cannonball!
Can we actually get those two guys from the Filipino diving team to show up?
Amazing.
We'll pay them solid, like we'll pay them a normal fee and throw in a couple Mary Brown's gift certificates. And we'll done. They'll show up. See, I want to do that. See, I want to flip it just with reckless abandon and do a back belly flop. Or back flop.
I don't know if those pools have shallow ends.
So, yeah, the Olympic-sized swimming pools. I also wouldn't want to dive in the green pools in Rio. Remember the Rio pools during the Olympics?
Right.
The Algae Olympics.
I have satisfied my interest.
I'm blown away that this took this much interest.
Hey, listen,
from you.
We used to make these right turns all the time back in the day, and I enjoyed that show a lot.
Tim, I'm sorry. Can you look at what Alex Cicero, my brother, just tweeted? I rarely do this.
I can.
He basically he posted a picture of some synchronized swimmers and pointed out which one I was. And I don't. Everyone's head is underwater. You can't really tell who's who. Mm-hmm. Maybe I find this way funnier than you will, but. It's a pretty good picture. Like, Alex just put, like, a really crooked arrow towards me.
I can confirm Sid is a tremendous synchronized swimmer.
So he's just pointing it at me.
And then there's female legs wearing high heels.
Oh, I didn't even notice the high heels.
Hanging out of
it's
pool.
Like a ZZ Top video.
And those hairs are way less hairier than what I imagine Cicero's legs would be like. But thank you, Alex, for jumping into the show. McDavid's goal was better than blank. Is the match game.
And it's trending number two right now in Canada, so thank you, everybody. As always.
You know what? I don't need to get to any of that. Oh, Brad K. Brad K. writes in and says, McDavid's goal was better than an ice-cold beer on a beach in Mexico.
That's nice. I like that.
And at this time of year, I agree with you, Brad, and can't wait to get there. You wanted to talk about Morgan Rielly in the mix of what was among the greatest goals that either of us have ever seen.
We'll get to Freddie Anderson being pulled and not being happy. I know that's been a thing in Leafs Nation today. But Morgan Rielly is the victim here.
Yeah, the
right?
recipient.
I can only imagine what his Twitter feed looked like last night. And rarely in sports does a moment like this happen where a guy is so embarrassed, you kind of feel for him.
It was kind of like the NHL version of a guy getting dunked on.
Yeah. I did not think he was going to speak to the media last night. And I get on, and you know this, I get on guys who decide when they will or will not speak to the media, especially assistant captains. I want to play you Morgan Rielly stepping up, and I want to mention one more thing on the other side. This is Morgan Rielly last night after arguably the worst moment of his professional career.
Yeah, it's McDavid.
Can you give us an idea of what it is like to try to defend McDavid when he's coming down with a head of steam like that?
No, not really. I mean, it's tough.
Can you look at this game?
It's tough. Like, what else? What are you going to say? I'm going to applaud that kid for coming out.
Yes, that's tough to do.
I would not have come out, all right? I would have stayed in
and
the back.
Loss.
I would have done the Ottawa Senators on the bike thing and just warmed up after the game and gone home. So I want to, in what is a difficult moment, I realize it's McDavid. Tim, you're bang on. This was not a normal situation, but he could have ducked the media last night, and Morgan Rielly did not, and I want to applaud the kid for that because that was not easy to do. And the kid's got some balls, and I applaud him. So shout out Morgan Rielly.
Two more tweets, then we're going to get to the rest of the game, the Oilers' important win, and the Jets getting an impressive win in Montreal despite...
Well, there was a whole other storyline in Montreal last night.
And Carey Price's response to the Jets win. Matt, you can't show this one on TV, please. However, Robert Davis wrote in and said, Sid, next time you try some bleep like that, cross-check McDavid in the head. And this one you can show. It's from Mikey T. Guys, give it a rest. It was a nice goal, but nothing too special, though, because it's McDavid. If it was anyone else, non-story.
Tim, can I, based on the last two tweets, you read create a button, a sound effect that you and I will both have access to eventually. I'd like to just do it now live. So Maddie Taylor and the guys tomorrow, if they can
clip it
on
and put it on.
Please,
so
you
this
clip
is a
it.
Future button?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll have this tomorrow. Okay? Button coming down in 3, 2. A douchebag! One more time. A douchebag! One of the two. How about this one?
I thought you were going to say something when you first started.
What did you think I was going to say?
I thought we were going to get in big trouble.
No.
Do you remember the first topic... Or sorry, the first segment idea for the first podcast that we did together as Tim and Sid?
I barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
It was called Bleep Off.
I think we should bring it back, Timmy.
All right, Carey Price's reaction to another Habs loss and what this win means to the Edmonton Oilers. Plus, Habs are playing the Wings tonight.
Habs are in the deep end of the pool now.
We'll discuss it next.
A douchebag!
Me?
No, not my best. No, no, not McAuliffe, no.
All right, let's continue the match game here on Tim and Sid. McDavid's goal was better than blank. Once again, McDavid's goal was better than blank. Mark writes in and says, McDavid's goal was better than free-loaded nachos. Not just nachos, but free-loaded nachos. Sorry, that's it.
Nothing's better than free-loaded nachos. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Robert writes in and says, McDavid's goal was better than Peter LaFleur's awareness.
Dodgeball reference?
That is a dodgeball reference.
See, I didn't memorize dodgeball like some people. I liked it. I didn't love it like
and
that.
And a dodgeball, Peter LaFleur is blindfolded.
Oh, spoiler alert.
He successfully dodges a ball.
Spoiler alert. Come on, man. What if someone hadn't seen dodgeball?
And takes out the most overrated funny guy of all time.
Which Stiller is he? Ben? Ben Stiller?
Dayton wrote in and said McDavid's goal was better than a properly cooked, juicy, medium-rare steak. That's right.
Yes, it was.
A properly cooked, juicy, medium-rare steak.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Mike writes in and says McDavid's goal was better than Miracle Whip on soda crackers.
What?
Is that
what
good?
What the hell is he talking about? Is Miracle Whip on crackers?
I've heard of Cheese Whiz on crackers.
Miracle Whip?
Miracle Whip.
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 Nope.
Whip.
Whip.
Nope.
Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip. Is that good? Has anyone had Miracle Whip?
Who's had? Has anyone done that sober?
Nobody in here.
Miracle Whip and crackers. Wow. Well, there's a dinner idea tonight, kids.
Speaking of sober, Steve writes in and says, McDavid's goal was better than a greasy breakfast after a serious night of drinking tequila. Why does the greasy breakfast work?
Because it's greasy.
Grease soaks something up?
The grease soaks up the tequila.
You would think it would be the opposite.
No.
If your stomach was weak,
changes
and
everything.
You add the greasy breakfast.
No.
But I know from experience, it helps. What I'm asking is why? And no one can answer that. Like they can't answer why you would put Miracle Whip on crackers.
This grease is good, man.
Somewhere on Twitter. You just
look
like
how
grease.
Far yeah, it's gotten me.
And Greg Johnson, I don't know whether we'll applaud this. I don't know what to do with this one. McDavid's goal was better than my wedding night.
So you didn't score?
Well, maybe he did.
McDavid scored.
And yet McDavid's was even better than his wedding night. We just get him in trouble?
Was Morgan Rielly there?
By reading that one? What?
What?
The other all-Canadian
Morgan
matchup.
Riley's in the room. You got a story there, too, bud.
Morgan Rielly did get undressed, but I don't think it was that great.
Morgan Rielly walks in. There's Cool Whip and crackers in the corner.
Cool Whip. Other all-Canadian matchup last night saw the Jets pour more misery on the Habs. 3-2 win in Montreal. Jets vaulted back into a playoff spot, wild card spot, while the Canadiens have now lost 6 straight games. Sid, more important to the Habs, Ilya Kovalchuk's debut or Carey Price's post-game comments?
Kovalchuk was a +2 with a point.
Yep.
19 minutes played last night.
He played over 19 minutes.
I love Kovalchuk's night. I got to hear Carey Price. We got to run that. Carey Price sounds like a guy who's had enough. Hey, Carey, how frustrated are you?
I'm beyond frustration now. I'm just going to play and do the best I can and try and get past any kind of frustrations or negative attitudes.
Well, good thing he doesn't have a negative attitude.
This has been the frustration I've had with Mark Bergevin for the last couple of years, is that while you're sitting on whatever you're sitting on, cap space, the trade outside of Drouin that everyone thought was going to happen that never really materialized, the addition of scoring, is that Price and Weber are getting older and older and older. Is he just talking about the deep six that they have gone through in the last little while, or is he talking about more than that?
That clip felt to me like it was more than that.
Me too. That's like, why I brought it to everyone's attention.
They're in Detroit tonight, right?
Yep.
Detroit have 10 wins all year. 2 of those wins against Montreal. Tonight feels like, and Carey Price is not playing this evening.
Is he not?
He's not. It's Charlie Lindgren's going in.
Okay.
This feels like a night where someone could get fired if they lose a game. Am I the only one getting that feeling with the Habs?
If you lose three games to this Detroit team, I don't know if it happens with Charlie Lindgren in that and then you fire a guy after it. Saying. But they are going to feel the brunt of the fire. And you know how deep the fire can go in Montreal. Like, those guys play with passion. And I'm talking about the fans and the media. And if you see them lose to Detroit tonight, the bleep storm is about to start.
Yep. We're going to step aside. Kevin Bieksa, Sportsnet hockey analyst. Can we call him Sportsnet hockey analyst? I think he's officially Sportsnet hockey analyst.
He's also got a podcast, too.
Got a podcast?
Him and Kessler.
We'll talk Habs. We'll talk McDavid goal. Canucks, seven in a row against the Lightning, seven in a row tonight. Lots of hockey coming up here on Tim and Sid.
Someone seven in a row must go.
Time for Tim and Sid.
It's time for real sports talk with Tim McAuliffe and Sid Sexero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdogs. Tim and Sid back with you for another 30 minutes on Sportsnet, the full hour on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590, the Fan in the Southern Ontario area. The banged-up Raptors host the Blazers tonight. Later this hour, we'll hear from Nick Nurse and check in with Eric Smith, who will call the game on Sportsnet 590, the Fan, this evening.
But we begin this hour with a lineup and hockey, some breaking news from the NHL or thereabouts, because we have a flip of minor leaguers between the Montreal Canadiens and the Nashville Predators, but those minor leaguers used to be highly thought of prospects. Michael McCarron goes from Montreal to Nashville. In exchange, they get Laurent Dauphin back. So the Habs acquire Laurent Dauphin from Nashville for Michael McCarron. Both of them in the past, highly thought of prospects that haven't really been able to materialize in the National Hockey League. So there was a trade. We figured we should pass it along.
Oh, absolutely. And Laurent Dauphin is from, and forgive me, Seb, if I messed this up on the first try.
Uh-oh.
Repentigny, Quebec? Seb has no idea what I just tried to say. R-E-P-E-N-T-I-G-N-Y. Repentigny. My apologies to everyone from Repentigny.
No, still no.
I still didn't get it?
No.
Apologies to everyone from wherever Laurent Dauphin is from. How about that?
All right, he played for Chicoutimi. Can you say that?
Chicoutimi. I can say Chicoutimi.
There you go. Also a pretty big matchup.
Repentigny. Sorry.
Two hottest teams in the National Hockey League go head-to-head in Tampa tonight.
Great game tonight.
Canucks, great Lightning, both riding seven-game winning streaks heading into tonight's game. Just the second time, amazingly, in NHL history that two teams on winning streaks of seven games or more will face each other. It's the second time ever. Travis Green is sticking with the same 18 skaters he has used in each of the past five games. Jacob Markstrom will get the start in net. Viewers in the Vancouver region can see the game on Sportsnet Pacific.
There are certain games that you know you probably don't have to say a lot to your team. And it's usually when you're playing a really good hockey team or a big game within your division as the season goes on. And I think... you know, this is one of those. We're playing a really good team who's, you know, one of those teams you talk about that's trying to win a Stanley Cup, and they're on top of their game. It's going to be an exciting game for our group.
It hasn't been easy, but this group is really, they've come together and they know what it takes to win, and some of the things that we've probably done in the past, you know, I believe we've grown a little bit. You know, we're not the perfect hockey team by no means, but we're turning into a pretty good one, and so hopefully we can just keep this going.
All right, I hate saying this in game 43 because it is just one of 82, but what would a win mean tonight for the Canucks?
Look, to travel as far as they're going to have to travel for this game, and I know we don't talk travel a ton on this show because it's professional sports and they charter
Vancouver
airlines.
They talk a lot about it,
but in the past, you know, they have been to Stanley Cup finals multiple times. At times they've fought through it. It's not been completely an impediment for them. However, from Vancouver down to Tampa, this is a saunter. So from a toughness standpoint, it would show me a lot. Secondly, let's remember JT Miller here is going home. Mm-hmm. And JT Miller has played a huge role in taking some of the heat off Elias Pettersson. Not that Pettersson needs it necessarily. He's a fairly mature young man. But he has helped that team immensely. And during this win streak, they're averaging 4 goals per game.
Yeah.
Offensively, it's been a pretty good team effort. But Miller, and remember, you know, they gave up a first-round pick, which could be conditional if they didn't make the playoffs this year, for JT Miller.
A lot of people said they paid way too much.
Yeah, I mean, and for a guy with a cap hit of over $5 million over the next several years, the curse of Louis Erickson still looms rather large, and, mm-hmm. and Canuck fans weren't necessarily comfortable with that. He's been great. JT Miller has been fantastic. He goes back to Tampa tonight, a team that quite frankly said, we'll spend the money on Braden Point, and we'll trade your ass.
Right.
That was how it played out. And this is now the first meeting of the year. This is going to be a huge one for JT Miller tonight as well. I'm looking for him to have a big night, three-point night. And I think the Canucks are going to have one of the victories of their season this evening. One of 82, as you said. But I think this one's going to feel real good when they leave Emily Arena.
Yeah, I know that it'll mean something to JT Miller. And I know that the boys will want to get one for him. But I also think that a young, growing team like the Canucks going on the road and beating a team that I think a lot of people heading into this year thought was, if not the best team in the NHL, among the best teams in the NHL, and now they're starting to play that way.
Yeah.
And I think this would be one of those kind of, and maybe we'll ask our next guest about whether or not those confidence wins actually occur in game 43 of 82, but this feels like it could be one of those kind of wins. If they can go on the road, long road trip, get one for their guy, and beat a team that is among the very best in the league, that could be one of those growing wins.
Kevin Bieksa is now joining us from somewhere lavish in California. Forgive me, Kevin. Where exactly are you again?
I'm at home. I'm in Newport Beach,
Newport
California.
Beach. Beautiful. How long have you lived there? How long has that been home for?
When I got traded to Anaheim, we bought in this neighborhood and we've stayed. So this is the fifth year, I think. It's been
beautiful. Must be nice.
We're just sitting here jealous, we probably have the same weather up here, and
we're just jealous human beings. Let's start with the Canucks. We got a lot to talk about with you. Let's start with the Canucks, though. And to go with what McAuliffe just said in terms of, listen, it's one of 82 tonight. However, can it at times occasionally not be one of 82? Like, what would a win mean for that young team this evening?
Well, I'm just listening to what you guys were just talking about. And JT Miller, it's funny, every time I've been on the panel with Hockey Night in Canada, it seems like we talk about JT Miller during the Canuck games because, in my opinion, he's been driving the bus for that team. Hmm. And they have a lot of key players to their team. But for the way he plays and how consistent he plays and how hard he plays, he does all the little things right. And that's something that guys on the team feed off of, and it's contagious. And that's the reason why these guys are winning so many games now, and I think they've won 7 in a row. It's not because the skill guys are putting points on the board. It's because guys like him are blocking shots from 30 feet away when it hurts. Guys like him are killing penalties. Guys like him are winning all the battles to get pucks back, going to the dirty areas. And like I said, that becomes contagious. So when you go back to his old team, and I don't know if that's the way it quite went, how they said, screw you, we're not going to pay you. but anyways, anytime you play your old team, you want to have a good game. And you want to kind of stick it to them a bit and let them know, you know what, you kind of gave up on me, you made a mistake. And I think the team's going to jump on his back and they're going to try to get him the win. And to have 8 in a row would be huge for this team moving forward for confidence.
All right, we know the Canucks got off to that good start, and then they followed with just one win in their next 8. They had 3 wins in their next 12, and now we see this run where they're winning 7 in a row. Are the little things that you're talking about with JT Miller the difference between being a good hockey team and a consistently good hockey team?
Yeah, it's a roller coaster of a season so far. And yeah, I think playing a little bit more consistent for these guys is going to be something they're going to have to learn. Your bad can't be that bad. So when you're off and your team's not playing well, you have a system and you have a process that you can revert back to and, you know, hang in some of those games where you're not quite playing your best and maybe win some of them. But this is a team that's come a long way and they're still learning how to win because, you know, I don't think they've made the playoffs for 4 or 5 years ever since they let some defensemen go. And it's going to take a while for them to learn how to win these games again and be a team that can consistently win. And, you know, I just think some games that I've watched them this year, they've been a little bit loose with their puck management and they've played a little bit too high risk. So I think that's why they're probably in this win streak right now is because they're managing the puck a lot better. They're not being as high risk. And, you know, they're playing a team tonight that loves to trade chances. So I don't think they should really try to get sucked into that kind of game. Stick to what's working for them.
Right.
Kevin, this defenseman they let go, who do you speak of?
don't know. It was a right-hand shot. I can't remember exactly. Yeah.
I thought they were valuable right-hand shot.
Yeah, defense, valuable shot. They were very
Yeah, I know he had a lot of points, and he was really tough, and he was, I don't know. Like I just remember being a good player.
All right. Well, if the name comes, you let us know, because we're here for another 10 minutes or so. All right, Kevin, let's move on. And I want to ask you this next question in the vein of a guy who knows what it's like to play the blue line in a league that good. When you see something happen last night that happened to Morgan Rielly, as a guy who knows the position, who had good nights and bad nights, what went through your head?
Well, it's just unfortunate that Morgan Rielly is going to be associated with this move for the rest of his life. And it's just a showcase here of a lot of things by McDavid. You know, obviously his skating is, he's one of the best in the league, but his hockey sense and his hands are really showcased here for me. And a lot of people have tried this move before. It's a change of pace and change of gears. What he does when he gets the puck is he slows down, and it looks like he's going to wait for his guy to join the play. And then, boom, quick move outside. Hands are working quicker than his feet, or as quick as his feet. And he just kicks it into gear, right? So when he slows down, what that forces Morgan Rielly to do is he has to slow down, and he has to keep that gap tight, the distance tight. And when he turns it into first gear, you can't change gears as quickly skating backwards as you can forward. So this makes it really tough for Morgan Rielly. I mean, the only thing he could have done a little bit better is maybe get like a little body on him or something. But that's an elite move by an elite player right there. And it's tough for Morgan Rielly that he's going to have to watch that over and over again.
He's had to watch it if he was watching the show about 45 times, because we keep showing.
Sorry, Morgan.
Let me ask you this. Do you think in his periphery, as McDavid is looking towards the neutral zone, he saw Morgan Riley's leg come up to cross over? And because that's another part of it to me. Everything that you mentioned, I'm in awe of. If he also saw the right leg pop up as if he's going to cross over and did it on the crossover too, like, my guy is ridiculous. He is ridiculous, but he waited for that crossover, didn't he?
And forwards try to do this, right? Yeah. They try to get the defenseman. As soon as you I teach this to my 12-year-olds, like, as soon as you get the guy to cross over, you cut back the other way and you take it around him outside. And if you look at the replays, because you guys are showing it 1,000 times here, it doesn't look like he's looking at Morgan Rielly, but I think he just knows human nature that as he veers to the middle, he knows Morgan Rielly at some point is going to probably cross over with him.
Right.
And he just lures him in with this look. I think all along McDavid knows he's not waiting for that guy to catch up. I think he's just trying to lure him in and then change gears and take it outside like he did. And I think it worked a lot better than he might have even thought. But again, there's only some people that can get their hands and their feet moving that quick and have that high of hockey IQ.
Kevin, what was the moment during your playing career where you just got? Like, what's the one you still think about?
Is there one?
Yeah, well, I mean, I try not to think of them. I try to forget about them. So when I took pride in not getting beat, if a guy like that would beat me, I'd just maul him and pull him down, trip him. You know what? If it turns into a penalty shot, not my problem, right?
Put on the goalie. Yeah,
So if I ever got, and not even went in practice, if a guy got a step on me and beat me in practice, I would just chop him down, and then they would get mad at me, and I'm like, well, tough luck, you know? Like, I don't like getting beat. But there was one time, and my son asked me, he's like, "You never got beat, Dad? You never got beat?" I go, "Yeah, I remember this one time I got beat in Washington, and I think it was Brooks like, and he caught a pass behind him, and I kind of lunged forward, and he did the old between the legs and went around me and scored. And I remember after he scored, I just gave him a vicious cross check to the ribs. Like, I wasn't happy with that, but luckily it didn't happen too often, because like I said, I would just take the guy down and take a penalty.
I used to play old timers with my old man, and they're a pretty good skate. And there was one guy who if I ever tried to walk around him, he would just take the tip of his stick and pitchfork just above my ankle so that you get the speed wobble. And it was like, it was almost like you're going to dislocate your knee every time. It was the greatest little move that I'd ever seen in my life. And after about 3 times, like, I am not going to try and go around the outside of this guy ever again. Because he would just above, you know, when the ankle stops on the skate? And he would just get you right in the fibula there. Boom. And it would scare the bleep out of me every time.
Yeah, he's a dirty player. I wouldn't look like that. Yeah. That's not my style, that guy's dirty, I think.
And Kevin, we talked about this earlier. A credit to Morgan for coming out and speaking to the media when really you didn't have to. could have taken the night off, but he did, and I give him full credit for that because God knows what his social media feed was looking like at that point.
I want to ask about the comments that we heard from Carey Price, who, I don't know if you heard it, but he said he was beyond the point of frustration. Habs have lost six in a row. They've got a bunch of injuries. This is bordering on another lost year for the Montreal Canadiens and specifically Carey Price. And someone wrote into the show and said, Charlie, I'll give him credit for it, said, are we going to see Carey Price retire without a legitimate shot at a Stanley Cup? Do you think like we're bordering on that, or is that just down the road and let's figure it out as the Habs move along here?
Well, I don't know. It just seems every season that Montreal has this really big lull where they lose a whole bunch of games and they basically just take themselves out of playoff contention, right? Or they just have this lull where they just lose all their confidence in their game and it takes them a long time to find it afterwards. So I don't know. Like, I'm hoping the guy gets a chance. You know, I mean, actually, I don't really care either way. But for his sake, you know, hopefully he gets a chance. But he's in a pretty tough division, right? And if you're not going to be a team that can defend, and then on the flip side, you got to be a team that can score goals in that division to win, because it seems like you're playing Tampa and Toronto and Boston. These guys score like four or five goals a game. So it's a tough division to compete in. And I just don't really know what Montreal's identity is, right? I never really did, right? Like, I knew back in the day they were small and skilled and, you know, but they got like Big D. Like, I just don't know what their identity is. And I don't think a lot of people do. And I'm not even sure if they know.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
Yeah, but it's just unfortunate for Carey. But at the end of the day, I'll tell you what I remember Henrik Sedin told Roberto Luongo in the dressing room once in Colorado: just stop the puck, Lou. So all Carey Price has to do is just stop the puck and not worry about everything else.
No, and to be fair about it, you know, aside from that first month, Carey Price has been average to below average statistically this season. Let's be honest about it.
Yeah, but how much of that has to do with Carey Price? How much of that? I mean, you could look at the last 3 years and say that. Or how, and we're talking to a defenseman. I think they have something to say about how good a goalie is, don't they?
Well, you know what? Just stop the puck, Carey. That's all you got to do.
Right.
And then let the GM put the team there. Let the coaches coach. And obviously everybody has to be better on that team, right? But he's the caliber of goalie where he has to steal games for his team. He's their team's best player. And I don't know where he is in the salary cap. I imagine he's one of the highest paid guys in their team along with Weber. You have to steal games. When you're a goalie who's an elite goalie in the league and you have a team that's a borderline team and some nights doesn't have it, you got to steal games for your team. And you got to just steal a win where the other team's like, we should have won that game if it weren't for him. And I don't know, you guys watch more of his games than I do. Has he stole many games this year? I'm guessing no.
He had a little run where they went 6-2, and he was really, really good. But like Sid said, most of those nights it's been average.
But there have also been nights where he's had no margin for error.
Right.
Like the offense, they're a young team, and they got bit by injuries as it is. So he's had to, if you give up more than three goals, that team's not winning. So it's been an interesting moment. Just from a salary standpoint, just to remind everybody, Carey Price, $10.5 million per year on the cap. Shea Weber, $7.8 million on the cap. Carey is 32. Shea Weber is 34 years of age. When you hear
that's old,
and there's a lot of years left on those contracts. When you hear Carey Price talk that way, though, Kevin. Because, look, I've been in this business a while. Tim's been in this. We have bad days.
Yeah.
We're veteran guys here. We're quote-unquote leaders. But we have bad days. Carey Price, so I've been told, Tim.
All right.
Carey Price had a bad day last night. When you're a young guy in that room, and you either hear that as it happens or after the fact, what do you think?
I think he plays in the Canadian market, arguably the most prominent market in sports for hockey anyways. And I think on most nights, he probably does a really good job of handling the media and staying positive and doing his job. So when he loses his cool and he says some things like this, I think it's an eye-opener for the rest of the team and the young guys. Like, holy, we've gotten to a point where our leader and our guy who usually handles the media really well is just lost his cool. Like, it's a wake-up call for the rest of the team, I think.
Kevin, before we let you go, we were talking about how often we showed the Morgan Rielly being danced by Connor McDavid. You did bring up Brooks Like.
I had nothing to do with it.
I happened to find it on the computer, and I may or may not have it in front of me. Uh, let's let's take to the computer and have a look.
Trip down memory lane here.
Trip down memory lane here. Oh, between legs.
Oh, did you see how I tried to chop him in the back, though, after?
Yeah, no, we did. I did notice.
Oh, I missed it. Let me see
it
again.
We might see the replay one more time here.
Let me see it again. I got to see Kev try and let him have it here.
We got some reaps coming up here.
Kevin, in your defense, that's a really quick play. Like,
yeah.
I mean.
You know what? That shouldn't happen, though. And if you see, it's a 3-3 goal there. That's to tie the game. So, I mean, great gap there to start. And then get a little loose here and then maybe go fishing and then try to chop
him. You did. You gave him a couple taps. Yeah, I saw a couple taps.
Who's that goalie? Is that Ryan Miller there? Make a save. Oh, God. Help me out, Millsy.
He's chirping Miller years.
Millsy, make a save and bail out your buddy.
That was a skill play, though, by Like. I'll give him that.
It was. I don't know. I think you're being a little hard on yourself. I didn't realize. Like, I thought the play developed and you had timed, and then you go fishing. I was bang, bang.
Hey, you know what, though? Luckily, that goal happened in Washington, and nobody's ever seen that replay ever again. It did happen on Hockey Night in Canada in Toronto.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
In Toronto, in Oilers Leafs game with Connor McDavid in Toronto, there's a few more eyes on it. That's definitely.
But, I don't know if you noticed, but he did trail him all the way to the blue line.
You let him
so
know.
He had. He should have.
Well, that's called having a good gap.
That's good gap. Good gap.
I know, but it was the lost gap that you were worried about.
Good gap. One day I'll
have a good
gap.
Is this turning into a roast?
No.
I believe you played 800 and something more games in the NHL than I did.
Have you, let's end it this way. Have you remembered the name of that defenseman the Canucks let go, and they haven't been the same since? Have you remembered the name of the defenseman?
No, but I think I played a lot like him.
Okay, all right. So again, just text
play like me.
There you go, Kevin Bieksa
from Newport Beach, California.
Kev, this was fun. Thanks, man.
Yes, thanks, guys. Till next time.
All right, there is the co-host of Casting the Juice.
He handled the video well. Yeah. I didn't know how Kevin Bieksa was going
to
react to the video.
You didn't want me to
Did you see me bail out on that early?
Yeah. You were scared.
I was
a coward.
But I was like, I was diving in the deep end.
Again, we can play our worst moments in TV if you want.
Every day is one of my worst moments in TV. Watch the show once. Elsewhere tonight, Timmy.
Yep.
Can we do this or we're going to break, guys? Let's do it. More hockey. Flames will look to extend their win streak to 3 tonight. McAuliffe when they visit the Chicago Blackhawks. Dad's trip's going on, by the way, for Calgary. Always fun. After dropping 6 of their last 8 games in December, Calgary have won 2 straight to start 2020. Currently sit 1 point out of a wild card spot. There's a lot of teams in that mix. Viewers in the Calgary region can see the game on Sportsnet West, 6:30 Mountain, 8:30 Eastern tonight.
All right, Sidney Crosby was on the ice with his teammates for the morning skate in Las Vegas today. We saw him get on a plane yesterday.
This is big, man.
However, he did not take part in line rushes, and we're told he will not play tonight. But this is a good sign. Sidney Crosby, full speed. He hasn't played since undergoing sports hernia surgery on November 14th. Teams say he could play in Colorado or Arizona on this road trip. You can catch the Penguins Golden Knights tonight on Sportsnet. And Sportsnet 1.
And the Penguins really suffered without Crosby. Check that.
Wait a second.
They're fine.
Yeah.
They're fine. Coming up after the break, Raptors take on the Blazers tonight. Eric Smith with an update from Scotiabank. Fred Van Fleet, some news today, and it wasn't great news.
No, not at all.
We'll have that for you next.
This is Tim and Sid on Sportsnet Radio and TV. A couple things that we brought up earlier in the show. One, the match game, trending number one in Canada right now. I want to thank all the Tim and Citizens for weighing in on today's match game. We always appreciate that. And some people, not us, are really impressed when we get to number one in Canada. So we thank you for getting there. Door number two, we were talking about the greatest goals of all time because Connor McDavid's goal got us there. Now, you and I nominated what we thought were the best goals of all time. You said Ovi's from his rear end slash back.
Yeah.
Was your favorite. My favorite was what Mario Lemieux was able to do to Ray Bourque, putting it in his skates and getting it done. Other people were nominating others that I want to mention. Matthew Tkachuk's OT winner, through the legs, on the move. That was really nice. I don't know if it was best of all time, but that was really nice, right?
Very nice. It's definitely in the very nice category.
Do you remember the Maxim Afanaganov versus the Lightning? Maxim Afanaganov was really good for a while with Buffalo, and he had one that was absolutely ridiculous. We can throw that
out my memory here, guys,
on our Twitter account, so you can have a look at it. But it's just like a spinning through the legs, get it back. and then kind of go to the backhand and finish.
It's also some horrific defending, but whatever.
A lot of these are horrific defending, aren't they?
And I thought Ovi's guy played him as good. He committed a penalty on him, for God's sakes.
Can I just throw out the Sedins through the legs? Do you remember the Sedins through the legs?
Vaguely.
It was a pass between the legs.
Oh, the tip.
And then the finish between the legs.
It's almost like they're twins or something.
Yeah, and they have the synergy that only twins could have. It was Henrik to Daniel. All right, we are done, at least for a little part of us. Hockey Central is next on Sportsnet. Tim and Sid, though, continues. Flip over Sportsnet 360 or just stay on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Speaking of Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Timmy, Raptors and Blazers tonight live on the radio side.
Oh, we're
of
done
things.
Talking about the greatest goals of all time.
Oh, you're right.
Got your Maxime Fenagan off.
I moved on unnecessarily. We have more goals?
No, we do, but as long as you're okay with moving on.
Listen, man, I think we've done a pretty good job of hitting the ones we need to hit on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you separated them from skill to circumstance.
Right.
Because Gretzky to Lemieux, Canada Cup, not necessarily the best goal I've ever seen, but
a really good goal. A goal I'll always remember. Circumstances, it would be in top 10
lists. Paul Henderson's goal sucked from a skill standpoint. It was a mucker's goal.
Right.
Right? But it's the greatest goal, most significant goal in Canadian hockey history. Till this day. Sidney Crosby. Mm-hmm. Vancouver, right?
Yeah.
And he had an awful tournament in Vancouver.
We couldn't pay for the rights of Mario Lemieux's dummy in the Salt Lake City Olympics, but that was a pretty good goal, too.
Sacker goal, right?
Yeah.
Jaho! Sakic. Was
Sakic or a Ginla that scored on the dummy?
I thought
from
it was Sakic that scored on the dummy.
Was it Sakic?
Was it Sakic that scored on the dummy?
I just want to make sure.
It was now 10 years ago.
More than that.
2002. Oh my God. It wasn't 10 years. It was 18 years ago.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Rendition of O Canada might be like when you talk about hair raising moments in sports, and when I talk about hair-raising moments in sports, it becomes even more powerful because we know we're not talking about the hair on my head. But the hair-raising moments in sports, when Canada won gold in Salt Lake, there was a rendition just casually sung by the fans in the stands for like the final 3 minutes of the game where they just sing, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That to this day, when I think about it, it kind of just stirs a little something in me.
And, Tim, it's incredible to think, as you tell that great story about NHLers in the Olympics, that will never happen again.
You think so?
No, it'll happen at some point. They'll get the money right. Gary will negotiate with Renee Fassel, who'll negotiate with whichever corrupt person is running the IOC right now. And they'll get the insurance money, and they'll get the rights to highlights. They'll get it all straightened out eventually.
And we'll be able to see the highlights from it?
Yes. Like we'll be able to see best on best eventually. By the way, for those who missed it over the weekend, Renee Fassel of the IIHF said, the NHL has till August to figure this out to go to China in 2022. I'm sorry. To see people like Connor McDavid out there against the other best players on Earth. Like, how do you watch that last night and say, I don't want that in the Olympics?
Right.
Like, we don't need that in the Olympics. We'll make up our own weird tournament and have a team of just Western Conference players. And we'll come up with some other weird gimmick. No, that will make just as much money as the Olympics. Give me a break. Give me a break. The NHL needs to be in the Olympics, period. Figure it out. Just hold your nose, Gary. I know you don't want to do it. Take your medicine. It'll help you. It'll help some of the owners. They might not see it yet. But your young superstars see it. They get it. They know. Listen to them.
But don't you realize, like, you're making money for the most corrupt organization of all time, and they won't give you a dime?
As of yet. Okay. You're right. They're not doing it now that is the deal. But maybe the deal changes.
Right.
Who knows, right? Negotios and negotios, McCallum.
Understood. But they've been trying to negotios this for a long time. Korea was the goal scorer on the dummy. That's what everyone's yelling.
It was
yelling.
Paul Korea. Really?
People are yelling that on Twitter. And the other one that people are yelling at are, you got to show Bure's goal. And that is another one that I feel should be elevated because I hadn't seen anyone go back to their skate. Kick it back to their stick and
groundbreaking.
Finish.
It was groundbreaking.
With his speed.
Yeah, it was.
So Pavel Bure, for Canucks fans, is one of those goals where he just drops it to the so fast, dude.
Why is he not in the Hall of Fame?
Someone
explain that one to me. There are guys in the Hall of Fame who can't touch his numbers. Like, the Hockey Hall of Fame is not a Hall of Fame that can get choosy with it. Right? Some of the guys they let in, with all due respect, don't have the numbers. Pavel Bure has the numbers. Put him in the Hall of Fame. flash, he had it.
He's in there?
Nearly won it.
He's in.
Oh, he went in 2012? Yeah, yeah. Congratulations to Pavel Bure.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer.
I was giving you the...
You gave me the weird, look.
So, let me just double check this to make sure that I'm good to go.
Oh, but that was a quick check for the people behind the glass as well, 2012.
Yeah. Oates, Sakic, and Sundin was that class.
All right, I take it back, Hall of Fame members. I'm chewing out Landon McDonald and everybody for not getting Pavel Bure.
And the best thing is that's, like, of all the things that I do well on this show, like, remembering back is my absolute worst. Like, if you ask me about a date, I can't give it to you.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that I got 2002 for the Salt Lake City Olympics.
That's very impressive.
Because I am terrible at that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who was on the ice. Well, maybe I'll miss Korea. I'll tell you who was around, what happened, the sights, the sounds. Ask me for a date, I suck. Ask me for a time or a guy, I suck.
Clearly, ask me for a Hall of Famer. I'm not exactly the strongest.
So I was like combing through the recesses of this pea brain of mine to figure that one out.
You know what else I'm not good at? Name me a wrestler. Is he alive or dead?
Well, that's tough for everybody.
I'm terrible at that one.
That is
really terrible.
Most definitely.
All right, let's do a little basketball, Timmy. Forgive me. I tried to jump to it early. We had stuff to talk about. Mm. It's not easy to keep up with the Raptors' injuries these days, McAuliffe, as the Raptors get set to take on the Blazers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan tonight. The latest, Fred VanVleet, who is out tonight. Nick Nurse updated his status not that long ago, and some other statuses as well. Listen carefully to Fred and what he says.
I don't think there was any testing today. He's out, and I think it's going to be a little bit before we know exactly how long. Norm is still out. He is still out, but he's probably, we should see him soon.
Do you want to divulge your starters, or are you going to?
No, sure, I'll divulge him. Let me think about it for a second, though. Kyle, Pat, OG, Rondé, and Serge.
How telling is it that he has to think about who his starters are?
Because every game is different for him.
Every game is different.
The injuries have piled up. This is Nick Nurse is now getting to the point where he, much like my memory of Pavel Bure's Hall of Fame status, it gets a little hazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like Norman Powell is closer than everyone else here, Tim. The Freddie hamstring from the other night, though, is the one that you got to look at and go, all right, you know, his injury history is pretty thick.
Yeah.
There's a contract year for Fred. He obviously means a ton to the team. Are you getting worried every time he picks up an injury, or is that just kind of going to be Fred's
story?
You know what
I'm worried about is at what point does all of this affect the after 82 games?
The postseason.
At what time does the guy's injuries have an effect when it matters the most? And at what time do you need to start building chemistry for whatever the hell you're going to be when it matters most? All of these things are now coming into play. And it's not just Fred, right? Like, every guy on this team has been wonderful at some point this year. Otherwise, they're not 24-12 on the year.
Right.
But eventually, you're going to have to be better than you are right now and healthier than you are right now. And the Raptors haven't had the luxury of saying, hey, Fred VanVleet, when you picked up the first injury and then all three other guys ended up going down, who had to come back? Right? We weren't sure he was going to be back for that game after Siakam, Powell, and Gasol went down. But he came back. And for me, eventually, you're just going to have to say, I don't care if we lose 5 games, 8 games in a row and play the entire 905 team. You got to get healthy.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
You got to figure out what you have.
Absolutely. Because there's no way Masai knows what he has right now.
I don't think he does.
Trade deadline's February 7th, by the way. Eric Smith, that's fast approaching. Officially a month away. Eric Smith joining us live from Scotiabank, site of the Blazers and the Raptors tonight. E, it is great to see you. Let's start with Fred VanVleet. Little worried based on what we heard today. Do you think he'll be back in a week or so? Where do you stand with him?
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried, to be honest with you, just based on the fact that, you know, not only is he not playing tonight, but then Nick Nurse said before the game, about an hour ago, he said he hasn't had any, you know, testing done in the sense that he hasn't been sent for an MRI or anything, but he essentially said it'll be a little bit before we know more. That, to me, speaks to sometime next week at the earliest. I mean, the Raptors have the luxury history of being off for 3 or 4 days after tomorrow's game in Charlotte, not playing again until Sunday, and then even looking ahead to next week, there's just that one game on the road in Oklahoma City. So this is a pretty good stretch of the schedule to be able to rest guys for a longer stretch and to not have a bulk of games. But at the same time, when you're saying a little bit, and nurses already acknowledged that with Siakam and Gasol and even Powell, they're a ways away. He's been pretty transparent, I think, for the most part, and pretty forthright and honest with what he's been saying. So I'm assuming he's being the same with VanVleet. So I'm not holding my breath for a speedy recovery or a speedy return.
Do we get psyched out a little bit? Because I saw Norm Powell, and I was going to call it upgraded. I don't know if it's upgraded, but he was from out to doubtful. Was that, did that mean that there was maybe a glimmer of hope when it comes to Norm Powell?
I think there is, Tim. In fact, Nurse also said before the game that he thinks Powell is close. Now, again, what that means exactly, could he suit up tomorrow in Charlotte? Sometimes you think about the theory that coaches like to bring guys back on the road as opposed to at home. But if I were the Raptors, and listen, I could be proven wrong in what, 24 hours from now, but I would think that you hold him out of tomorrow's game against the Hornets, but then bring him back perhaps as early as Sunday. Because, as I said again, after tomorrow's game against Charlotte, you've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday off before you're back on the floor again on Sunday evening against the Spurs. So if you can get 3 more days of rest, a few more days of practice for Bow, and not bring him back on a back-to-back scenario, that might be kind of a better option for Toronto. But there's no denying that if you're also Nick Nurse and the Raptors overall, you're thinking, we need some bodies. We need some weapons in there. So if Powell is ready to go and we can play him in Charlotte, then all right, let's get going. The only good news in all of this injury talk is that Matt Thomas is for sure back tonight, returning to the lineup for the first time in almost 20 games. I'm not sure how much you can expect for him to make a massive impact right away, but he's certainly going to get his opportunity to play and play minutes because you're running out of bodies at this point.
Eric, sticking with the word bodies here, an important date in the NBA season came and went over the weekend in terms of the ability to sign guys to 10-day contracts. Do you think, considering the situation Masai Ujiri is currently in, we may see a guy or two signed over the next little bit?
I think the tough thing right now, Sid, for Ujiri and for Webster to navigate and negotiate through is, to your point, you might want to take a look at a guy or two. You might want to see what's out there in the free agent market or 10 days. And they just lowered the lights here, so I probably have a weird glow going right now. Sorry for that. Unless I get my man Vic to, you know, get the...
It's actually
the
very romantic. Totally. It's very romantic. You have a nice hue about you. Yeah. Yes.
You guys have a glass of red wine or something you could send over? Webster and Ujiri were, you know, I'm sure they're wanting to take a look at guys, but they're hamstrung or handcuffed in the sense that they have 15 players under contract right now. So if Toronto wanted to get any sort of flexibility with their roster, either via trade or via signing, you know, we've even talked about the idea of there are veteran players out there that could be signed, whether it's a J.R. Smith, a Jamal Crawford, a Jeff Green, players like that, others that are out there too. Toronto with 15 players under contract would have to do something with the roster and essentially cut somebody, waive somebody, and buy them out. So that's a whole other option or a whole other path to go down for this team. So it's not easy for them to do something with their roster right now. There is no real quick fix without having to make a corresponding move.
We've seen repeatedly, Eric, guys come up from either the 905 or be activated and think, they might see a couple minutes, and then they end up playing 15 or 20. Where's Matt Thomas in that?
I think Matt Thomas is a guy that's going to have to be thrust into some serious action right away because of the fact, again, not a lot of bodies, but also not a lot of scoring, not a lot of shooting. This team, to their credit, even in spite of the injuries, has stayed amongst the top five teams in the league in three-point shooting, even as abysmal as it looked a couple of games ago against the Miami Heat. But for a guy that goes out shooting 50-plus percent from three-point range, they need his offense on the floor. With no Fred VanVleet, with no Pascal Siakam, with no Norm Powell, they need offense, period. They need somebody to score. So I think Matt Thomas instantly is a guy that needs to play and needs to be a contributor off the bench. And Tim, I think the thing that's impressed me with him over the course of the season, and we haven't seen a ton of him because of that injury, is I thought he proved that he can stay on the floor and beyond being just a scorer. We've seen in the past, whether it be with the Raptors or other teams, guys that are marksmen, guys that are just known as shooters, they often aren't great defenders, and they might not be great playmakers. So if they're not making shots, they're often coming out of games. I thought Thomas proved that He earned his keep, earned his way onto the floor, and I think it's going to be instantly, you're right back in there because we need you to be there. You know, you look at a guy like O'Shea Brissett, he's not a shooter, but he's an active energy guy, a rebounder. He's earned minutes and moved himself up in the depth chart, especially in the face of these injuries. So guys that are proving that they can stay on the floor and be more than just one-dimensional, they're finding time in Nick Nurse's rotation, and I think that's, again, part of it's due to because he doesn't have a lot of other options. But not to call one guy out, we haven't seen Malcolm Miller really kind of take the bull by the horns and play consistent minutes. Other guys have. So the opportunity's there for guys, and I think Nurse is certainly welcoming anything and everything he can get right now.
Last week in Miami, during that 6-for-42 three-point shooting performance by the Raps, I'm sure Nick Nurse would have liked to call in a Matt Thomas. He couldn't. He's got him back tonight. So, yeah, I agree with you. He might get some run here. Before we let you go, Carmelo Anthony. He's in the building, averaging 16-6 since coming back, shooting over 40% from three. He's worked out, E. Are you surprised he's worked out? And is it good for Melo to be in the league? Is it good for basketball?
I think it's good for basketball that he's in the league because I didn't think that he was done. I think that he was a victim of himself to some extent, also a victim to the amount of money that he was making and maybe trying to hang on too long for that perfect situation. And maybe it was finally a realization this season that, all right, I've got to simply get back into the league no matter where that opportunity might come. And I think he's landed himself in a pretty decent slot here in Portland where you're surrounded by some talented players, you know, beyond just C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard. When you think of Hassan Whiteside, when healthy, a Yusuf Nurkic, this is a pretty good team. Now, that said, and I certainly don't put this on Melo, I want to be clear about that, they're still not great right now, at least their record isn't great. So you hope maybe as time goes on, if maybe chemistry sinks in a little bit more and a little more familiarity with this core, that they kind of turn things around, they get things going, because they come in tonight still 7 games below .500. So as much as he looks pretty good, as much as the numbers look pretty good, I'm not sure that the impact on winning, that the impact on the Blazers has been as good or as strong as perhaps maybe Portland is looking for.
All right, with Herbie yelling now, we can no longer hear you, so we'll let you go call the game on Sportsnet. Thanks a lot, E. Appreciate it.
See ya.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
All right, there's Eric Smith live from Scotiabank Arena, where Herbie Kuhn is yelling, and we can no longer
hear. That's our cue to leave.
Both the Blazers and the Raptors tied third most man games lost to injury this year. There's the difference. Blazers 15-22. Raptors 24-12. It's unbelievable what Nick Nurse and his staff have been able to pull off.
And that's why the Blazers went so quickly in Melo's direction when everyone in the league kind of chuckled at it.
Right.
No one thought he had anything left. It's been a good move, but they need some more help. They're a game out of a playoff spot, Portland. They're still in the mix.
For what? We're not sure.
We have no idea, but he's helped, definitely.
All right, let's close out the show with what we missed.
What we missed.
I'll stick in basketball. Anthony Davis will become a free agent was the headline, but it was kind of misleading. The Lakers offered him a 4-year, $146 million extension earlier this week, according to Chris Haynes. But he'll become a free agent in the offseason, and they can now offer him 5 years, $202 million when he heads to free agency. He's not leaving the Lakers, is he?
Well, here's the thing. Because all the insiders you and I respect a lot, including friend of the show Dave McMenamin of ESPN, everyone was singing the same tune. There is no way Anthony Davis is leaving L.A. Here's what I know of LeBron James. When things don't go well, it's rarely his fault. What Anthony Davis has just done is kept the door open.
Right.
LeBron James cannot play that card with this kid. Anthony Davis, not that long ago in his hometown of Chicago, was saying some very interesting things.
Yeah.
And I love the move from Anthony Davis to just not lock down anything.
And he's represented by Clutch, right?
Yeah, which is basically LeBron's agency. So I think for a lot of reasons, most of them financial, this is what he has to do now, turn down the initial contract extension to wait for the $200 million, like any good player would. But It also keeps LeBron honest.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron can't turn around and blame him or others in a passive-aggressive way if the Clippers beat them in a Western Conference final. And I think it's a great move. And it's the intelligent move if you're Anthony Davis. I'm not willing to say he's not going to leave. I'm not willing to say that yet. Right. Let's see how the postseason goes. We'll see you the postseason.
As you know, every year I roll the dice and I bet a few guys for MVP. I bet a few championship winners that maybe other people don't see coming.
You're pretty good at it, too.
The two guys that I bet for MVP this year, hold on. The two guys
I bet on the back initially
were Trae Young.
No, good bet. Meh. It's a good bet, good value.
And Luka Doncic.
Great value.
Doncic just picked up his NBA best 11th triple-double of the season last night. He's averaging close to 30 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists per game. But does he really have a chance to win MVP?
Yes. Tim, I caught a bit of this game last night. Mavs and Bulls. There is nothing this kid can't do to you.
Yeah.
Nothing. He can find you in transition. He's a tremendous passer. His three-point shot is effortless.
Right.
He can put it on the floor and go into the paint and make you eat it. He is incredible, and he is a baby in this league.
Yeah.
And listen, the Giannis train, it's tough to stop.
That's what I was going to bring up to you.
But weird things happen. Injuries happen. Who knows? Doncic, if he's not in pole position to win MVP, and I don't think he is necessarily. He's in the number two spot.
Yeah, in Vegas right now, it goes Giannis, heavy favorite. Yeah. Doncic is second.
That makes sense.
And then LeBron and Harden.
That makes sense. The Atlanta Hawks will rue that day for the rest of their miserable, pathetic existence when they swapped Trae Young for Luka Doncic, right. That idiotic franchise down in Atlanta. They haven't won anything in decades. There's a reason they are poorly run. They make bad decision after bad decision, and Luka Doncic is going to the Hall of Fame, and they're going to have to watch that for the rest of their life.
A couple of new NFL head coaches hired today. Matt Rhule gets $60 million on a 7-year contract.
He's won how many NFL games as a coach?
None.
Zero.
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 To leave Baylor and take on the Carolina Panthers. The Giants hired Patriots receivers and special teams coach Joe Judge. 38-year-old gets his first head coaching job. Well, some bewildered that Eric Bieniemy is still sitting on the sidelines waiting. Do you think either of these two have a chance to be successful? And is there any way to know whether or not either of these two will be successful?
Here's what I've read about Joe Judge today.
Okay.
If Josh McDaniels were to leave New England, he was probably going to be the offensive coordinator.
Well, it seemed like everyone was waiting
for
Josh McDaniels to say whether or not he would leave, and the Cowboys were stuck in that as well.
The one thing I think all teams that have passed on Josh McDaniels, and the Browns don't have a coach yet, so there's still time. But I think all teams that passed on Josh McDaniels, quite frankly, have done the right thing. I think this guy's ego is bigger than Belichick's, and he probably will hurt your franchise. Joe Judge, though, I mean, we watched the Patriots play offense this year, right?
Yep.
How do those wide receivers look to you?
Not great.
What happened to earning the job based on performance? What happened to that? I understand Greg Roman in Baltimore getting interviews. Listen, Matt Rhule, his MO in college was to take a horrible program and in 3 years win 11 games.
Yeah.
That's why this guy got over $60 million today, despite his very questionable wardrobe choices.
You know, like the sweater vest that kind of looks like a...
What was the actual term?
Smock?
That we heard is a smock. Listen, man, he smocked his way to $67 million. But the fact that the Giants decided on a wide receivers coach whose wide receivers that year didn't look good are shocking to me. Absolutely shocking to me.
And he's from the Patriots coaching tree.
Yeah, I get it.
Seem to overrate the Patriots.
And I just think for minorities in football, from a coaching standpoint, it's a horrible day. It's a horrible day.
Yeah.
Eric Bieniemy, as an offensive coordinator in Kansas City, what else do you want? Literally.
Yeah.
What else do you want to see in terms of production, in terms of guys improving? The NFL have a real issue. There's three minority coaches currently in the league, and one of those, Mike Tomlin, has been there forever.
Right.
Maybe it's a topic for another day, Tim. I'm sorry to bring it up this late. This, to me, is the major headline to pull from today.
Well, I have 17 seconds to discuss whether or not the Rooney Rule is working in the National Football League. It is now down to 10 seconds.
What do you got? What do you got?
And I will simply say that I'm not sure.
5 seconds. How do they fix it?
I'm not
five
sure.
seconds.
Oh, how do they fix it?
How do they fix it, Tim? 5 seconds? Sorry. We'll talk about it tomorrow.